Can't wait for Mike Kruko to stamp that one as a laugher. One of the all-time dramatic games in that park's history, and one of the all-time great performances in that park's history by Jock Peterson. All about it is Mike Kruko on the UMA guest line. Mike, some days coming on the show with us is more fun than others. This is one of the fun ones.
This should be a good one.
Good morning.
Oh, my God. That was just a clapper. I was so happy. I was so bummed after the eighth inning. I swear, I was calling Lee Hammer going, I quit. I'm not doing the morning show. I'm done. Don't even call me.
Yeah, lose my number.
I mean, that game had so much emotion, and it was incredible. And we saw things that we've never seen before. I mean, this is a classic. And as it was going down, I mean, I didn't even want to think, well, do you think they could come back after dropping – 7 runs in the eighth? You think they could do it? And they do it. And then it's like, you think they could come back one more time? 2 outs, nobody on, down a run at the bottom of the ninth? And then they do it.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. Kipe completely lost his voice. I mean, you know, that was it. He was done. He looked at me and goes, I'm done.
Oh, my gosh.
He couldn't go on the wrap. He couldn't do a post-game wrap-up. I mean, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And we got to start with the historic performance by Jock Peterson because – nope. I mean, what was interesting was you guys, your crack research team always has the great stats. That's only happened by one other giant in the history of that park, Pablo Sandoval in the World Series. And then only one other dude in general, Kevin Elster on opening day. Shows you how rare, Mike. I mean, like guys like Yastrzemski did it on the road. Dickerson did it on the road. But, Mike, to do it in that park and then to hear afterwards that he credited his pregame talk with Barry
Bonds.
That's
incredible.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, Bonds does that. I mean, he'll just appear, and then all of a sudden he'll engage in a conversation. And the one thing about Barry Bonds that's remarkable, because he always has had this image and reputation of being a bit reclusive in the house. Once he engages and once he locks onto a topic that he's interested in, he'll literally talk from New York to San Francisco. And how do I know this? Because he's done it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Kipe fakes like he's going to sleep so we can, you know, have him go back to his chair.
Nice.
But he will not do it. He's so impassioned by the topic of hitting. And you think about where he's learned, you know, from Mays and his dad, and then obviously from his own career. But he is a guy that assumes you see the world like he does. And then when you don't see it, he looks at you like, what's wrong with you? But he has an incredible way to simplify things to where you hear it for the first time. You think, well, that can't be the result. It's too easy. But yet it applies. And it's his genius. Who could ever do what he did? Nobody's ever done what he did. Not get pitched to, get intentionally walked night after night after night. And then in one at bat, seemingly one pitch to hit, whatever the speed, whatever the location, whatever the movement, he barreled it. Now, that was his genius. Nobody had ever seen this before, and Jock Peterson was asking about that very thing. And Bonds basically said, be in the moment. Why cloud yourself with, I've already hit 2, I've got to hit 3, it would be so cool if I hit 3. Well, then all of a sudden your mind goes off, and you start thinking about the topics that have no relevance to that moment. Stay in the moment. And, you know, I've heard him say that 100 times. How many times have I actually seen a guy apply it? Well, not 100 times. And for Jock Peterson to be able to take that conversation, clean his mind, go out into a game, and be actually faced with that scenario where he's already hit 2 home runs, and he's not going to let his mind get in the way of that last of that third home run, he just freed up. He stayed in the moment. How simple, but yet how completely true to the moment was that suggestion? And then for Peterson to be able to apply it, you have to be around this game a long time. You have to have traveled the path that he traveled to be able to see it, make it apply to a situation, and then when he gets that situation, use it. I mean, that whole thing was just so cool. I love the conversation, and I love the fact that he was almost late for the game.
He said, for people to know the details, so as Mike says, Bonds just appears.
Yeah,
there's no
like
schedule.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just Peterson. Apparently Lamont Wade Jr. was part of it, too, and they talked for a half hour in the batting cage, and then they took the conversation. If you've ever been back there, they go upstairs to the clubhouse, and then they went into Mike Murphy's office, where all great conversations happen, right? And apparently, as Mike points out, they were talking so long, Jock looked down, it was 6:25.
I got a game, I got to go.
The game starts at 6:45.
Yeah.
And he says, quote, just getting knowledge from such a good hitter and the way he thinks about baseball and hitting helped connect some dots to free my mind up at the plate. He noted Bond's ability to eliminate distractions during at-bats. How about that, Mike?
Well, I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, look, we're looking at Michael Papirski right now, who hasn't got a big league hit. Now, when he steps in that batter's box, do you think he's thinking about the game situation? Do you think he's competing with that guy on the mound? No. He's trying to get the hit. And because of that, is now become an obstacle in his own mind. Well, every hitter does that. I mean, I think every player, every person who's listening to this broadcast that has ever played the game of baseball, you've got three hits in one day. Now you get into the fourth at bat, and you're thinking about so many other things other than see ball, hit ball, run like crazy. Simplify. It just is what it is. It's almost like our mind will accept three hits, but is a little intimidated by getting four hits or five hits in a game. And it's the same thing in golf. It's the same thing in any motor skill sport. When you've done something amazing, it's like, well, I can't do that again. I just did that thing. Well, why can't you do it again? And that's Bond's whole premise for the argument. You know, why not?
Yeah.
Why, and you know who else could do that? Buster Posey. Remember the conversation I had after when they clinched the championship, the National League Championship in 2010? And we're in the elevator at 4:30 in the morning, and I said, enjoy this, because it doesn't come around very often. He looked at me, and he said, well, why not? Well, they see things differently. They're not intimidated by the moment or what they've even accomplished leading up to that moment. And that's the significant thing that comes out of this moment last night. We all watched it, and he was freed up. And not only did he hit the third home run, but he got up there, and he hit a bullet off of one of the best relievers in baseball, back up the middle. And he said in the article today, if I would have tried to hit a home run, I'd roll it over. Well, where'd he hit it? He hit it right back up the middle. He hit another bullet. I just think that what we watched him do last night was just so cool. He wasn't intimidated by the moment. He stayed in it.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, even in my last at bat against probably the best closer in the game right now, I didn't get too big and I was able to put a nice swing on a tough pitch when it would have been easy to try to hit a fourth home run, roll it over, and the game's over. So Jock just having a ball late night Jock, late night Giants. And Mike, you know, I mean, it's no secret, coming into this game, man, the scuffle was real. You know, I mean, the Padres smacked him around, the Mets had smacked him around, it was five straight. The bullpen had been giving up a lot of runs. I mean, the injury list was growing, so... You know, I know it's 162, and we do these three times a week with you. But I will say, that has to be one that they feel like they can kind of plant their flag a little bit on. And I mean, not like the Talkman Pujols game, but maybe, kind of, you know?
No, there's no doubt about it. There's no maybe or kind of about that. Last night was a game that they desperately needed going into it because they're on a losing streak, and it's how they were playing. They were distracted. I mean, they weren't together. They were not the Rockettes in New York. They were not one. They were not a team. They were a bunch of individuals and a bunch of soloists, which is what happens when a team of character goes through a rough time. Everybody internalizes and tries to be the hero. And all of a sudden, that little simple creed that they live by, the next man up, next man standing, you know, pick up the guy before you, that disappeared. And not only that, but you're playing the Mets. I mean, it gets a little blown up when you're playing the Mets, who are a great team, and then they get an 8-2 lead. Okay, we all had that thing completely in the win column. And then all of a sudden, Dominic Leon comes up and gives up a 2-run homer, 8-4. We're all kind of going, it's the Mets, are we okay? And then here we have Tyler Rogers comes in, and he's Mr. Ground Ball. He's going to get ground balls. He's going to do what? Well, he gets up 7 hits. How many of them were solid? It doesn't matter. They gave up 7 hits. They score. They get 9 hits in the inning and score 7 runs. And now this game is completely gone. It's out. You talk about it, a group depression. And how does that carry into today's game? and onto a three-city road trip where they're going to play 10 games. How does that carry? Last night's game, that win had so much significance to mental health as they go forward. I can't even begin to even compare it to anything else this year or last year.
Great stuff. If you missed it, the Giants pull out one of the great wins in the park's regular season history, 13-12, after blowing an 8-2 lead in the eighth inning. Jock Peterson hits his third homer of the game. Only Giant ever to do that in the park was Pablo Sandoval in 2012 World Series. And then the Giants cough it up again in the top of the ninth, only to win it with two in the bottom of the ninth. Jock Peterson and Brandon Crawford. Ruff is on the move. Hey, a little bit on Tyler Rogers, because that's happened twice now. I was at the game Friday night when he coughed up two in the eighth, and the key at bat was a Jurickson Profar. I think you guys said, my buddies texted me and said you said it was a 48-mile-an-hour exit velocity. And so it's this thing with that set up the Will Myers double. It's this thing with this weak contact he gets. It's almost a problem, Mike, how weak the contact is, you know? Because Kapler says after the game, ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. He goes, he says, the balls that weren't on the ground, they're more weak contact. And when you have, he said, he's the same dude with the same characteristics and we'll have the same success if we just hang in there with him and we make plays behind him. But he's had a couple of frustrating outings.
Yeah, that was.
Including, he's going to have to wash that one off, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got the ground balls. I mean, that's his job. You know, we always talk about how guys come into the league and they have an advantage because nobody really knows them. And then all of a sudden the league figures them out. Now that hitter has to adjust. And it becomes a period of back and forth adjustment as you go through your career. Once they figure out what you're doing, then you have to adjust back. Well, there are exceptions to that. And Tyler Rogers is an exception because he's kind of a unicorn. I mean, who else is doing what he's doing right now? I mean, the Submarini guys, they're just not that many of them. It's hard. So when he starts getting hit or balls start finding holes, what does he do? Where's his adjustment? Does he adjust back? No. He's getting ground balls. For the most part, those ground balls are going to find a glove. He's going to be able to get out of it no matter what type of a jam he's in. He can get a ground ball, get a double play, and come back and have a seat. And then every once in a while, baseball will remind you that this is not an easy game. So it kind of happened to him last night. His ERA went from 2-something to 7-something.
Oh, my God.
And so, I mean, he's going to be pitching to try and shave that down the rest of the year.
Oh, my God.
But it's just what it is with him. When you're going through a rough spell as a team, balls find holes.
Yeah.
Balls don't get caught. I mean, you know, we were looking at that one ground ball with Padlo that was just a rocket. And if he catches that ball, it's a double play.
Yeah.
Bases are loaded. The ball comes up and it hits him in the chest. He had no chance. It was a total base hit. No way it's in there. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens. Bad hops, chalk shots, bloops, sun-aided doubles. I mean, it's baseball.
You know, we had Will Clark, your buddy, on every Wednesday morning, and he mentioned, and it's something the fans don't notice, but Peterson had a groin injury, and he went 4-for-45. So it's probably affected him a little bit, you know?
Well, it affected him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once he had the groin injury, he lost the foundation. He was hitting around pain. When you hit around pain, that alters your bat head throw. It alters your ability, because it is a motor skill, to drop that bat head on and control the strike zone and do what you want to do. But because it wasn't enough to put him on the IL and he wanted to stay, I mean, he's a game player. He goes out there. He'll take whatever he has out there and try and make it work. Well, I mean, he went for an 0-for-22. And then it carried on. And it you know, now all of a sudden he's the same guy now that he was at the start of the year when he was red hot, and he corrected himself. But, yeah, pain. Pain is something that, you know, everybody who's played a motor skill sport, if you've got pain at the end of that throw, whether it be a tennis racket or a pool cue or a dart, if it hurts, you're throwing around it. And that's what happened to him.
8 RBIs for Jock Peterson last night. Brandon Crawford did that in the last few years, matching Orlando Cepeda and Willie Mays. That's the company we're talking about. So the Giants head out there today for the getaway. Hey, we got just a quick word on Logan Webb. He's our guy, and, you know, I know it was only 5 innings, and the starting pitcher gets forgotten in a game like that. But anything you saw there, 5 innings, 2 earnings, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk, you know, handed the ball over with a lead, and then, you know, all hell broke loose. But when he leaves the game, the Giants are up 8-2. So, you know, Logan Webb.
Well, I picked him, and he was my player of the game. And, you know, this Mets team, they grind you, man. They're really good for a reason. And one of the things that is their strength offensively is that they grind you down. And that's what they did last night. They got 92 pitches in five innings out of Logan Webb, and most of them were out of the stretch. And so it was a grinding type of a start for him. So I thought he did really well. And I thought, you know, the Giants did the same thing to Chris Bassitt, and they hung eight earned runs on him. I mean, it's just, you know, the strength of these two lineups is that they can get pitches and grind. So I thought for Logan Webb to be able to get through that and give him five in a six-run lead as he handed the ball off to the bullpen, I thought that was a great night. You know, you do that against a confident lineup like the Mets. I mean, you've had a good night. You've given your team a chance to win against a good team, great team.
13-12 was the final score last night. They go getaway day to day, Mike. You're looking up. I mean, you know, each team comes to the park probably pretty tired. Jacob Junis, pretty effective. He's going today against a guy named Zapuki. Paulie, Zapuki for the Mets today.
Zapuki?
I don't know. I think he was in Greece.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, yeah, right? But, Mike, you know, both teams come to the park today, and you've been in crazy, nutty games. I mean, what are you going? No BP, just take it easy today. Man, after a game like that, you just kind of keep it quiet in the clubhouse, play some chill music, and get ready to pack for the road trip.
I mean, that's the one thing about day game after night game. I mean, we watched a classic game last night, man. I mean, we'll never forget that game, ever. I mean, they'll be quoting those statistics in that game for a long, long time. Us and the Mets fans. That's one of those games. Well, the bad part about it is next day you got to come back, you have a day game. You got to forget it. I mean, that's sometimes it's great about baseball. And other times it does frustrate you a little bit because, look, if there's ever been a game played that you want to sit back in a shady spot, put up your feet, pour down a cold one or two or five, that was last night.
Yeah.
But no, day game. So I do think that they perhaps slept a little better than the Mets, although the Mets, you know, look, they're 29-16. They're not really going to take a loss that seriously. But it does sort of equals the playing field as you go into the rubber match, which I think is a critical game for them again, because now you can have an opportunity to beat a team, win a series, and take momentum on the road. A three-city East Coast swing, 10-gamer. So this is a big game for him.
Yeah, Junis will be good. Hey, last one is for Paulie. Last night, this has become an annual now, Metallica night.
Yeah.
And nice national anthem, Mike, from the boys. Huh?
Oh, yeah, they can do it.
And don't think for one second that we didn't think that it all happened because Metallica was there.
Nice.
It's a rock and roll game.
You know, they're magical. They bring energy, and that's what that team needed. And that is the one anthem I looked forward to the most. And what was so cool is those guys came out, and they had these City Connect Giants guitars that were extremely cool.
That's awesome.
And then Hammett and Hetfield just completely shred the whole thing. It was great. I mean, Ulrich, I mean, he read the lineups, and then Trujillo, he goes out there and he exchanges the card. I mean, the whole night was great.
Yeah, so, it's fun.
Thank you, Metallica.
Yep. You go to the park, you never know what you're going to see, and you saw that. All right. Well, I was with you guys all the way, Mike. Great call, great broadcast. Hopefully Dwayne's voice recovers.
Yeah.
Try to fire up for the day game today, and we'll talk to you Friday.
In a bit.
Mike Kruko.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.